Hey, greetings, saints all over the world. It is Brother Chupos, and I'm right here with
Sister Amen.
Sister Amen is right here with me as usual. I'm thankful for that.
Me too.
We had a glorious day. We hope you're doing well,
uh-huh.
And you're listening in, which means you're still here with us on this earth. Hopefully you're striving
and enduring
in the things of God. Absolutely. We traveled today. We had a pretty good distance to travel and a nice drive. Beautiful day. Beautiful weather we're having. And then we preached outside. Well, first, Sister Amen said, hey, there's a nice town. Sister Amen kind of scouts for me, looks for places that she knows might fit our ministry, what we should do. I'm looking for places too. And she said, there's a nice town and looks like there's a nice downtown and maybe we'll go and fly signs there. So we went to do that today. It was a little bit short of our final destination, so we went to go do that. And Sister Amen, right at the last minute, you found out this was there, and then I was walked up on it, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go preach here.
And then we drove by it when we went.
We drove by it, and I said, we gotta go preach there. Where did I stand outside, and we held gospel signs, and I street preached today? Where was that today, Sister Robin?
We were blessed to be outside the Spam Museum.
The Spam Museum. I'm sure everybody listening knows what Spam is, that pink meat in a can. Some people think it's disgusting. Other people like it. Whatever you think.
Yeah.
They have a Spam Museum. And so we stood outside of it holding our gospel signs.
And they probably thought we were spamming them with the Word of God.
Spamming, yeah, with the Word of God. And it turned out to be a really good day.
Oh, phenomenal.
And we're going to talk about that. Sister Amen, let's talk about the transfer.
Oh, yeah, or the Great Exchange, the transfer.
The Great Exchange, yeah. The transfer.
Yeah, so Brother Tupos is on one corner, and I went across the street on the other corner so we would both have the opportunity to catch and preach to the people going by. And I saw this guy on a little yellow scooter go by, and I was waving at people, and he nodded and waved, and he took off. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, this woman across the street, she yelled, amen or something. I was like, hey, come over. We'll talk about it. And she stopped by Brother Tupos. He was talking to her. And I turned around, and the guy on the little yellow motor scooter was walking up the sidewalk.
I talked to her for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, not very long. It was just enough. She just walked up. He was just saying something to her. When I turned and saw the man, he had parked his little motorcycle thing. And he come walking up to me. And next thing you know, like 10, 15 seconds later, I barely even had anything to say to him, and she's coming across the street.
I asked her, I said, would you like to go talk to my wife, and would you send that man to come talk to me? And she did it.
She did. She came right over. She said, sir, maybe you want to go talk to him, and I'll talk to her. And you know what, sisters? I got to say, it made me smile, because she was like smiling when she said it. She wasn't like, oh, you know,
she was very
pleasant.
The women
have to talk to the women, and the men have to talk to the men, you know, like a feminist would do. She was like, hey, maybe you want to go talk to him. He would talk to you, and I'll talk to her.
It was awesome. So we're calling that a transfer, because we, like, traded witnessing people, and they both stood in. Well, Sister Amen, finish it out. How did it end?
Oh, well, I have a half-hour audio, plus there was another 15 or 20 minutes after that we talked. And same for you.
He stood by me for 45 minutes and talked and listened. We filled him up with truth. Sister Amen filled her up with truth. And they were the two seekers that we probably were there for.
And you know what? I think you said he did it too. This woman soaked it all up. She admitted many things she had to do. We went over a whole bunch of different subjects.
Yep.
In the middle of that, police officer walked up to Brother Tupos, and one came up over to me.
I was going
to
say, the museum called the police on us, and they had to come and make contact, which really, I don't know why they make contact. We're not breaking the law. And they just confirmed, oh, you're legal here, but, you know, don't block the street and don't block the sidewalk like we ever do. Like us two could block the street. So they had to call the police on us. But, yeah, those two sheep made it all worthwhile. The police left, and they were very nice. They each got the gospel.
I gave him a gospel card. And you know what I thought was kind of interesting about this is, I don't know if it was right around that time, but I talked about how the religious people hate us the most.
Oh, yeah.
They hate the truth
yep.
the most. And
so they hate us too.
Yeah, and she had at one point in time, I don't remember the timeline on this, mentioned about how people just kind of walk by and ignore it.
Yeah.
Then the police came. So I wonder, you know, if that was something for her to be able to see.
Yeah, because she had said, you said she told the police officers, they're not doing anything wrong.
Oh, yeah, she was like, we're good, or she's all right, or something like that. Yeah, so.
So it was awesome.
Yeah,
we found two sheep on the street. We were there, and they showed up not 15 minutes after we got there.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yep.
I also got to give away a lot of gospel cards. Yep. Had several, what would you call those, you know, 30-second conversations where people stop for a little bit and then they move on. You could jam a lot in within 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, just,
so,
casting seeds. And they get the gospel card. So, yeah, and I street preached, and we did put up a post. So you can see it. It's at the top of the edification page, and you can go see some video and listen to those witnessing audios there. So that'll be edifying.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that was awesome. That was one part of our day today. We'll talk about the other part of our day. We went down the road, and later, go ahead.
We forgot to read the scripture.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. We were talking about the great transfer, the great exchange, and we said, hey, that reminds us of what Christ did for us. I was going to do it at the end, but yeah, let's do it right here.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, go ahead. Read the scripture verse. Some people call this the great exchange in what Christ has done for us.
Right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God
Amen.
In him.
Amen. So he knew no sin. He went to the stake for us, and he took on the sin of the world, and we get to be pardoned because of his shed blood, and we get to defeat death because of his resurrection if we're born of him by the gospel and we're striving as fruit that we know him. So that is truly the great exchange right there.
That's awesome.
Praise God for our Savior. We'll talk about how the rest of our day went, but I did have a couple topics to bring up. Persecution. I had a phone call with brothers today, and we were talking about it, and I asked the question, are you getting it? Are you getting persecution? Why do I bring this up? Brother Paul says this, ready? 2 Timothy 3:11 through 14. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom hast learned them. So the question we can all ask ourselves, if we're claiming to be born again of Jesus Christ, are we getting any type of persecution whatsoever? There could be the very, very soft persecution of family members if you still live with them. There could be a little bit more persecution of when you hand out gospel cards. There can be the absolute persecution of the police showing up and people threaten you or getting beat up, all of that. It's a good question to ask ourselves, though. Are we being persecuted for our faith? Any thoughts on that, Sister Amen, for the sisters?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like you mentioned, even just the soft persecution could be, you know, people in your family, your life, whatever it is, a coworker, even if it's just a simple thing of them rolling their eyes at you.
Yeah.
You know, because
disdain.
Yeah, because they know who you are.
Yep.
And that you stand out, you're separate. Or when you go through the checkout and the checkout lady is like really nice to everybody and talking and chatting, and then when it gets to your turn, she doesn't say anything and she glares at you.
Can I give you an example? I didn't tell you about this. I'm in Quick Trip today, getting gas. Our van is parked out there. You can see the big Jesus is Lord out there. I heard the cashier lady talking with another lady pointing at our van. I walk up right there. She looks at me. She connected 2 to 2. She was nice and talking to everybody. I walked up and said, how you doing, ma'am? She goes, gave me a dirty look. I put my stuff on the counter. She rung it up. She goes, $1.27. Real snotty-like. I said, oh, okay, here you go. I said, thank you so much. She's like, she just looked away. She didn't say a word to me. She snubbed me. I watched the guy right behind. How are you today, sir?
Oh, yeah.
She snubbed me just because I had a sign that said, repent to Jesus on my van.
Yep. Yeah, and so, I know women get it because of the way we look.
Yep, and I'm sure she connected me.
Yeah.
So think about that persecution.
Yeah.
And are we getting it? And should we get it? The Bible says we should.
And what do? We don't feel bad about it. We don't feel bad for ourselves.
Nope.
We rejoice.
We rejoice.
Yeah, so it's just our reasonable service to endure it. And then let's rejoice because we're doing something right. Because if the world loves us, sisters, you got a lot wrong.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So think about that, persecution. And maybe if you're never, ever getting persecuted, maybe you need to pray about it and go, what can I do to be a more of a representation for the Lord to where I could also be persecuted for his name's sake? None of us look to be persecuted on purpose. We look to glorify God. The persecution comes right behind it. Like,
right.
Like them calling the police on us today for no reason. Like people threatening us for no reason. That's just persecution that's going to come.
Yeah.
But we're there to shine the light, and we don't, if we don't withstand all that persecution, we can't be there for those two sheep today that hugged us and thanked us for what we do.
Oh, that was so awesome. Praise God. I hope seeds went deep.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
amen. Another topic, when I witnessed to a man today in the street, he had a Chosen miniseries shirt on. That's that wicked miniseries that's put on by linked to Mormons. They make up things from the Bible. They make Jesus a jokester. It's the guy playing Jesus is a Roman Catholic. It's just a heretical show. And the man and I talked, and I asked him, he belongs to a religious body. I said, have your elders, your pastors taught you how to test? He goes, what do you mean? I said, have you tested the miniseries? He's like, well, no, it's about the Bible, right? It's good. I went through. He knew that actors are hypocrites. He knew it was somehow linked to the Mormons. He knew they made up things from the Bible. And I said, did you test it? And he's like, no, I didn't. I guess I really should test more, shouldn't I? I said, yeah, you should, because you're not going to have truth if you don't test.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:21. This is one for all of us. Prove all things. That means test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So we test it, prove it. Get rid of what's sinful and false and wrong. Hold fast to that which is good. Sister Amin, have we done that in our lives since we've been following Christ?
Oh, testing it? I'll tell you what. When I was born again and I started seeing, like, I can't even remember what the first thing was that I was like, whoa, that's sin. I didn't even realize it. Done. Throw it out. And right then I was like, I'm going to test everything. Every single thing. What I think. What I'm looking at, what I'm listening to, who I'm talking to.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
What we do. So every single day I would evaluate my life and go, what kind of sins do I need to get rid of today? Because,
yeah. Right.
I mean, he died on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
Our mistake, I mean,
yep,
for
yep.
our sins.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep doing them. Even if I didn't know what they were, I was looking for them.
Yep. And I always teach brothers, we test ourselves the hardest. We test our brethren we're united to. We test those that claim Christ when we meet him in the street, the world we preach the gospel to. So let's make sure that we're all testing all things, including everything Sister Amin and I say, anything I teach, and always sharpening your sword on the word of God. And by doing that, you're going to glorify God.
Right. In fact, in saying that, a brother brought up something that I said, and we tested it, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, not too long ago. So that
yep.
was good.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. Today we were witnessing another thing that happened, and Sister Amin was across the street, and I saw this family coming towards her, a husband, a wife, and probably 3 or 4 children, and it looked like another adult, could have been an aunt
yeah,
or grandma
couple.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I was watching them, and she offered them a gospel cards, and they walked by, and I could see what was going on, and I kind of could read it, and I kind of knew what was going on, and then I just started preaching about, because my voice can go further across the street after they left Sister Amin. And I preached about warning about man-made religion and claiming Christ but not serving him in spirit and truth. And watch out for the culture and the churches. They're lying to you. Sister Amin, what did that guy walk by and what did he say to you?
Well, I was warning him about the culture and man-made religion and Christ shed blood. I kind of caught him as they were coming through. And he said, oh, we're Christians, honey. We're Christians. And they just kept going.
Just walked by. So I wanted yep. to bring up the point. How does that show love when somebody who says they know Jesus sees people that are preaching Jesus walk by and do not have any interest in showing any love whatsoever, any support? They don't want to connect with you. They don't want to test you to make sure you're right. They just walk by and go, we got it too. Like Jesus is a get out of hell card. And I wonder, saints, how does this meet this verse? John 13:35. By this, all men shall know you are my disciples, if you love one another. How are those people loving us, Sister Amin, when they walk by and they could care less about us?
Not.
They're not. Which means they probably are. We can see their fruit on the outside. We can see their lack of love. they're probably false converts that need the gospel and they disregard it, and it's going to be to their demise one day.
Can I say something here?
Absolutely.
It just popped in my head. Did you see that man and that woman with two children? They were both smoking, and they came at me the other
yes.
way. Was that before or after them? I can't remember. But he took a gospel card, listened, you know, for a little bit while
and
they
she
were
took
walking
one too.
By slow. Yep. And she did too, and they both had cigarettes, and they walked slow, and I kept talking to him as they were kind of going away, and he said a couple things. They were receptive
yep.
of it, whatever it was they do with it.
Yep.
But a worldly tattoos on them,
yep.
smoking.
And they'll
just
take the gospel, but
by.
The churchgoers
yep.
walk by, and they go, ah, and they just disregard you.
Yep. And it's I know we say this a lot, but we repeat it so that way you don't forget when you get to get out in the world, and the little old lady gets mad at you and says, I already got it. But that scary looking tattooed guy with the big piercings all over his face takes the card from you and says, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the reason we keep saying it over and over again is we want you to see, brothers and I talked about this today, because a couple of the brothers admit they have a little, they're new in the faith, so they're a little bit naive on things. They always want to think the best in people. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. The Bible says hearts are deceitfully wicked in Jeremiah.
Yep.
So don't think the best in people. What you want to think is do the best for people, meaning preach the gospel to them, knowing they need it. Because if they're not your close brother and sister in the Lord, it's a very good chance they're a false convert. And what are they? They're friends of the world. And I asked a brother, what does that make them? And he goes, enemies of God.
Yep.
And I said, if they're enemies of God, they're not our friends, are they? He said, no. And I said, can we think good of enemies of God? We better not, he said. So that's what we have to watch out for. People that are not serving Christ in holiness and righteousness, they're enemies of God. No matter how much church attendance they have, no matter how nice they seem, no matter how much money they give away to a homeless guy, they're enemies of God, and we need to make sure we see them that way so we can deal with them correctly, preach the gospel, rebuke them when need to, and call them to repentance.
Right. It's called, you know, proving it. And I've always
yes.
been that way, because I saw through the hypocrisy of my own family and everybody that I knew from my relatives, like my grandmas and my grandpas and my cousins and stuff. Everybody was a hypocrite in the churches.
Yeah.
Saying one thing, acting one way in the church, and acting like the world and the outside of it, and being, you know, all
yep.
the things that you know you're not supposed to be doing.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Yeah, so I was able to see through that in the beginning. I didn't fall for the fact that all the churchgoers were of Christ.
Yeah.
I always looked at all of them and thought, they're not unless they prove me
right.
wrong.
And we talked about being naive, and the brothers and I came to the agreement that being naive means being naive is sinful. You know why? You don't believe God's word. God's word tells us who these
mm-hmm.
people are. God's word says they're enemies of God. God's word says there's only going to be a few. God's word says test everything.
Yep.
And we go, but the best of people. We don't believe God's word if we do that. So
right.
the brothers saw that, and we all said, we got to make sure that we root out all the naive ways in us so that we can serve God better and warn people, and we can deal with all these things more effectively, and we don't get, basically, when you're naive, you walk in the flesh a lot.
Yeah, and you can be deceived.
Yep, you can be deceived.
You don't
so,
want that.
So that
yeah.
was a good topic that we talked about. And,
yeah, that is
awesome. Yeah.
Maybe that will help somebody.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a sister. Sister. I was going to say Sister Amin. Do you have anything else? I have a story, Sister Amin. And you were right there to see it. What happened in the second part of our day? Get this. I got to tell you this story. So we go out. We street preach. We had those awesome witnessing things. Yeah, we dealt with a couple officers. No big deal. We were legal. They walked away. We go to a park in the new town that we're parked in right now. And we're set up in a peaceful little park. And we have gospel signs on our van. That's it. We're not street preaching. We're not out in front of anybody's church. Although I will say the church had a Presbyterian, the park had a Presbyterian church on the corner and a Lutheran church on the other corner, but not our fault. We wanted to be in a park.
And there was nobody even around.
There's nobody there. Services were dead. We're sitting there quietly sitting in our chairs. I'm on the phone with a brother doing a video call. This large man walks up and says, hey, why are you telling people churches are false? And I said, how can I help you, sir? He goes, why are you telling churches are false? We have this all on audio and video as proof. I said, well, because churches are false. He said, well, I'm the pastor of the Presbyterian church right here. He said, we're not false. And I said, actually, sir, you are. Can I go through with it? Or through with it with you? Over it with you? He tried to tell me the Presbyterian church comes from the Bible because the word presbyter, leaders, elders in there. He tried to say Paul and Timothy started the Presbyterian church. I said, sir, your church is started by John Calvin in the 15, 1600s, who was a murderous man who believed in killing people. He taught a false gospel. And he said to me, well, you're not being very long-suffering, kind, and patient with a brother. And I said, sir, I don't consider you a brother. I said, my brother's on the phone. He lives a holy life, and he follows the biblical Savior. You follow a man-made doctrine. At that point, he started getting a little upset. And I said, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. I started preaching Christ crucified. He walked away. And while he's walking away, we had this all on audio. Sister started a video. Him and I are talking as he's walking away, and we're just talking. I never got up from my chair, saints. We're talking. He's walking away, and he was about 75 feet away. My voice easily carries 75 feet. I don't even have to lift it. His voice carried. I could hear what he was saying. And we were going back and forth a little bit, no yelling, no screaming. And I warned him. I said, sir, you're in a false religious system. Maybe I should expose your church online so they can see what you need to do. You need to repent, sir. You're going to lose your soul. He goes in his car. He drives away. I'm talking to brother still on the video. He comes back in his car and he puts his horn on. Beep, 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 like his alarm horn. We're like, what's that all about? Here comes the police walking across the park. He called the police on me and told the police I was screaming and yelling at him. So this young officer came over, and I'm not going to go into the details of what happened with the police officers. He came over and I said, would you like to see the video? And he said, yeah, you got it. I showed him the video and I have him on audio saying, you weren't yelling, you weren't screaming, you weren't breaking the law, you were just fine. And I'm going to leave that right there, but I want to talk about that modern pastor. Sister Amin, did that surprise you? He comes up and breaks up our little picnic we're having. We were working online. He walks away and is talking back towards me, and we're talking back and forth, and then he calls the police. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. And then we were thinking about how we were rejoicing so much about the sheep that we got to talk to, and Satan sent a worker
to
take that away, take our mind and our focus off from it, and take away the glory of God.
Amen.
And give all our time and thought to Satan.
Yeah, I really think that these men that do this, because I wasn't standing out in front of his church, I wasn't even preaching, I'm sitting quietly in a park with some signs on my gospel van. I really think these men do this because they think, the police are going to show up. The street preacher is going to do something stupid. I'm going to get arrested, and they can laugh and go, ha, ha, ha. It never works out that way. Didn't get arrested. I was totally legal. The police ended up looking really bad. I won't go into those details because they didn't even do what they're supposed to do. But this man, a wicked Presbyterian pastor, and we're going to put a testing up to expose his church body and him. Why? To get even? No. We're going to fight evil with good. We're going to tell the truth about his church system to warn anybody that'll look it up online, and we're going to expose him so he can come to the knowledge that he must repent. And I told my brother who was listening, I said, if we don't rebuke him and we don't warn him and we don't tell him what's on the line, I said, who's going to tell him? The media, his other pastors, the people in the pews, the colleges, the internet? I said, no, we have to tell him, right, brother? The street preachers have to tell him. He said, yeah, that's true. We got to stand up for that which is right. So that was like the second half of our day that we had to deal with, because one man walks up and he's unhappy that I rebuked him. And we're going to put a testing up, and you can look it up. It's First Presbyterian Church. You'll see it when it goes up, and you can listen to the whole video and the audio and see. He just got a mild rebuke from across the park. There was no lifting up voices of yelling and screaming or any of that. And he couldn't stand in the truth of God. It reminds me of John 3:19-21. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the light has come, but men love sin and the light reproves them. So they go in the darkness. And that's what these men do. And it really worked to show my brothers, especially the younger ones, how wicked these men are. My brother said he didn't even stand to talk for a short period of time to find out what we believe, to open the Bible, to help us. He just got mad and walked away and called the police on you. I said, that is a worker of Satan.
Definitely.
And I have a verse here for that. Matthew 7:15-16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Oh yeah, we know this guy's fruit. And it was rotten today. And he's going to be exposed. And I hope he repents to the saving of his soul. Any thoughts about that, Sister Amen?
Yeah, we just clearly see that's a worker of Satan.
Yeah.
We're used to it.
Yeah, exactly. We're used to the police. We know they're of the world. But it's these people that claim Christ. And then they're wicked. That's the one that you really want to focus on and call it out and go, you know what? That is, you should not be doing, that's profane. I know the people of the world are people of the world. That is profane what you're doing there, sir. And he is going to face the judgment of God one day lest he repents.
Yeah, because everything that's hidden is going to be revealed.
Amen. Amen. And so we're going to continue to strive on, Sister Amen, aren't we?
Oh, amen.
They're not going to stop the gospel or the truth, are they?
Nope, and they're not going to divert a bunch of our time on it.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. And so, anything else, Sister Amen? Any thoughts? I think you have scripture you want to share.
Well, I just had a quick point here that I thought was, this would be really good after talking about Satan's workers.
Yeah.
The brothers are talking about the wind is always moving, the water's always moving.
Yeah, I got a video for this.
The spirit moves. And I was going to read John 3:8, and then maybe you want to say what more context what you're talking about. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, so the brother was talking about, he was encouraging some younger brothers, the wind is always moving. If wind doesn't move, it's not wind. Ponder that. If the wind doesn't move, it's not wind. It's just stagnant air. And then we were talking about the living waters, and they're living waters that flow out of you. And we were talking about, you don't walk up to a stagnant pond full of scum and drink out of it. But a river with the water flowing, you got a better chance of drinking out of that.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about how us men of God, women of God, we got to be moving. We got to be striving. We got to be flowing. We got to be active in the things of God. If we're standing still, stagnant, it's not a good thing. Our vessel is not going to be filled of living, pure water or the Spirit moving in us. We're going to become idle.
Yeah, because if you're not moving along, it's not the Spirit's fault.
Amen. It's your flesh.
The Spirit wants to move you, but your flesh isn't going to
obey. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I do have a scripture.
Yep, you do. Share a scripture, Sister Amen. Yep. And, oh, by the way, I have a video of windmills that we drove across today.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to put that up, have Sister Amen put that up tomorrow. And that's a good example of the wind is moving and the windmills are moving, and so should the saints of God be moving.
Amen. I love that. Colossians 4:5-6. Oh, hey, this works really perfect with everything we're talking about. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Amen. I love that verse. That's a good, really good verse. I wonder what tomorrow's going to bring, Sister Amen.
I don't know.
We're headed down the road, and we might fly signs, and we might street preach again somewhere else.
Let's see if the Lord lets us have the day to live and do this or that.
That's true. I'm planning for it, and if the Lord wills, that's what we might go and do.
Yep,
working our way
ideas.
Closer to our street preach this weekend, which is going to be an interesting one.
That will be interesting.
It's going to be an interesting one. We'll talk about that in the days ahead.
See.
Yeah, where we're headed. And so we're going to leave it right there tonight, unless you have anything else, Sister Amen?
Oh, no.
Last verse. I'm going to focus on pure hearts and peace. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I like that.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, out of a pure heart. Let us all strive to have that pure heart in the Lord. We talked about a lot of stuff today. Hopefully this all edified you. Hopefully there was a lot more good than that bad stuff. The bad you got to face sometimes. The persecution is going to come. But all those good things that are put in there and getting to preach the gospel, to reach the lost, to edify brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got to bring this up. We got an email from a young man that met us out street preaching.
Oh, yeah.
he sent an email, and we'd already had a call with him. We've had emails with him, and I thought maybe he was gone. We weren't going to hear from him again. He said, I'm here. I'm studying. He said, your one-on-one audios are really edifying me. And he said, I'm focused on the five-point gospel that I now know is the truth. He came out of Once Saved, Always Saved and was struggling with it. And he said, I'm amazed that all the people, he stopped going to his church because I told him, don't go anymore. So he's stopping and he's studying. He said, all of the people that he still has contact with, he asks them, what's the gospel? And he said, none of them know the biblical gospel. And he turned it and he said, I am embarrassed and ashamed of our pastors and our elders that for years we sat under them. And he said, these people, including myself, can't preach the biblical gospel. And then he said, yeah, I know the reason why. They practice easy believe Calvinism. And he said, they don't even preach that rightly. And he was talking about how they're all trying to drag him back to Sunday church.
Yep.
And he said, that's all they care about is Sunday church. He said, they don't care about truth and holiness.
Right. It sounds like he's like really digging and testing all things.
He is. He's quite a thinker. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking this all through. He's testing everything I'm telling him.
I love
but
it.
That was awesome. It's like, wow, all the laboring we do. Because he saw me street preaching 2 years in a row. We spent hours with this man. Yeah. We met him in a park and spent more hours with him because we love him, care for his soul. And then to think somebody might be gone, you go, oh, maybe Satan got him and he's gone. And then you hear he's still there.
Hooray!
Yeah, and you hear that he's striving and he may end up being united to us studying after he tests everything. So that was awesome. And I emailed him back and told him, we're so thankful you're still there. We're here for you. And he's seeing through the truth. God is starting to show him. And he did say this, and I want to encourage everybody. This comes up a lot. I don't know if God has turned me over because I might have sinned too much. I feel guilty about the sin that I've done. Guess what the answer is? If you feel guilty about the sin you've done and you want to cry out to God for forgiveness, God has not turned you over. The people that God turns over are the people that we see in the street that walk by us, that mock and laugh and do their homosexual acts in front of us, or they do their lascivious, vile things in front of us, and they don't care, their conscience is seared. Those are the people, like a Pharaoh, God turns them over. If you have remorse for your sin and you're worried that God might not forgive you, you haven't been turned over yet. Cry out to God, thank him that the repentance is still there, then get going, repent and follow Christ and obey him. And he'll cleanse you in his word and wash you and make you clean. Sister Amon looks like she's looking for a scripture verse.
Yeah, I was trying to get it before you were done, but I was thinking about those people that have been turned over. Are the Romans 1 and is this right? 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, the strong delusion.
Yep, strong delusion.
I can't remember which one it was.
Yep,
I was trying to look it up. But
yeah,
that's what they are. You can clearly see they're the deadness and being turned over to all the lasciviousness of the world that Romans 1 talks about.
Yep.
And is it in Timothy or Peter that it goes into that too?
Oh yeah, 2 Thess 2.
Thank you.
Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So you look at these people that just love their sin and they mock in it and they laugh in it and they've been turned over, their conscience are seared. Maybe that's who God turned over. But if you have a guilty conscience and something's telling you that you need to repent and you feel remorse and you're contrite about your sin, that's good news. God still is giving you a chance to come back. So I hope this young man, I sent him an email, I hope he sees that he can he can come back from anything he's done, and we're here to help him. So that's glorious. Another great report, and just shows that laboring in the word, doing the ministry, and those that are seeking, hear it, see it, appreciate it. He thanked us for our ministry, and he's still striving on, Sister Amon.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
And even if he continues doing that for quite a while, I'll just rejoice every time we hear
from
him, because he hasn't gone back.
Amen. It may take him a while to come to full unity, and we get that. We don't pressure force people. We just say we're here.
Yep. And then we just keep working.
And we just keep working and try to keep being salt and light.
Yeah, right.
But I want to say, he said the individual audios that I put up one-on-one witnessing, he said has been the biggest blessing to him for whatever reason. So if you wonder, why do you put those up all the time? That man right there was blessed by him. If I did it just for him, it'd be great. But a lot of people have said, we like to hear those. We like to see the upside, the downside, the different topics you cover, both right. me and Sister Amen. We want to teach people how to do it. We want to edify. We want to encourage people. Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men, so it will glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're trying to do. We're nothing without our Savior, John 15. Can do nothing without him.
Right.
So it's all about him.
Yeah.
We could just keep going on
here.
Just the
best we can, yeah. I know we could.
I think we're going to finish up right there. Let that be us, that verse I read about calling out with a pure heart. Let that be the mark of us. And we're here to help you in that. Holy is the Lord. Remember that. Be ye holy, for he is holy. 1 Peter 15. And serve him. We're here to help you with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love you all. We're down the gospel road again tomorrow.
Yep.
Maybe we'll have another preach. Maybe we'll have more good stories from the road.
We'll see.
And I know one thing we'll have. We'll have the gospel to proclaim because our Savior is so glorious.
Hey, we still got lots and lots and lots and lots of gospel cards, even though we're less a whole lot.
We do. We do.
So we're making sure we're stocked up with those
Amen.
Things.
We're using the gospel cards with wisdom. Sister puts them out at the rest stop today. People get them all over in stores. I love this. Oh, I got to go one more thing. We're witnessing today, two young boys walked by, 10, 11, 12. Sister Amen just kind of put her hand out and said, you want some gospel cards? They each took a gospel card.
Yeah, they did.
She said, I don't know what you even said to them. They walked by her. They crossed the street. They walked right by me. I said, you young men, they looked at me. I said, you read that gospel card. And I said, you set your heart toward Jesus. You read the Bible and you obey him, not the culture and not the church. And the one young boy, it was so cute. He took the card. He had it between his fingers and he tapped it on his forehead and he goes, I will do that, sir. He walked away, and they were both reading the gospel card.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, and I wanted to make a note about that.
It was so awesome.
We're very careful about young people on the street, but they came by me.
Right.
I was kind of casual, like leaning up against a pole holding my gospel sign, and I just reached my hand out to the side, kind of looked forward. I looked at them a little bit, but made it very casual.
Yep.
And so
we don't pursue children.
I didn't approach.
We don't pursue anybody.
Anything. They were just walking by. Yeah. Their parents are letting them run around on the street.
Oh, yeah. They were too young. Oh, if those are my kids, they're too young to be walking down the street by themselves. They were like 10, 11.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were just like talking and walking. And they came, you know, they were passing right by me. And as I stuck my hand out, they were right there.
I thought that was awesome. He didn't mock. He didn't laugh.
He
just held that card up and tapped his head. And he goes, will do, sir.
I
love that.
I watched them cross the street. You talked to them. I was like, oh,
that's the kind
so
of blessings
awesome.
We get out there. And a lot of young people stand and listen to us. And a lot of them thank us. And so a lot of the truth gets poured. We'll be dead probably and be powder. And some of these young people will be affected by the truth of God that they heard from godly saints, not just us, from other people. So that's a glorious thing to think about. We preach for eternity, not just for today.
Right. And as this world gets darker, it's so nice to be able to light. To be a light.
Oh, yeah.
Stand for them and let the young people see that.
The darker it gets, the brighter the light.
Yeah, praise God.
All right, we love you all. Go out
love
and strive.
You, sisters.
Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time.
May God be praised.
Amen. May he be praised, Sister Amen.
Amen.